Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We continue our examination of the Word of God. We just completed the 37th Psalm. And in the 37th Psalm, we saw that the psalmist was sort of struggling with what he sees within the wicked, the contrast between the wicked and the righteous. And not to be distracted by that, okay? Not to be distracted by what the wicked are doing. It's one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 37. Now, let's go to Psalm 73. Yeah, the inversion of it, right? Because this gives us even more insight, particularly into the wicked, how the wicked are contrasted with the righteous. And this is not a psalm of David. This is the psalm of Asaph. You know, quite often people think that David was the only one who wrote the psalms. That's not true. The psalms have several composers. There's actually one that Moses wrote, at least one, within the psalms. So here we go. This is the 73rd psalm, verse 1, a psalm of Asaph. And it says this, "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart." Well, that's a great declaration from the very beginning, isn't it? And this is what the psalmist wants us to know. Hey, we know that God is good to Israel. We know that God is good to those who are pure in heart. Was that only for Israel, or is that for all who believe? Well, it's for all who believe. The Lord is good to those who believe, okay? He is good to those who are pure in heart. Well, we know we can't be pure in heart in and of ourselves, by our own volition, by our own flesh. No, it is by what the Lord has done and continues to do within our hearts. When we say, yes, Lord, we believe. So he's declaring this from the get-go, that God is good to Israel, that God is good to those who are pure in heart. Verse 2, but, oh me, how can there be a but after that great declaration, right? We see this all the time in Scripture. You know, some truth being said right here then, but, verse 2, but as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped. And the idea being that my steps were caused to slip. Something had occurred here that caused him nearly to slip, nearly caused him to stumble. So he makes this great declaration of who God is, that he's good to Israel, that he's good to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps have almost slipped. You know, most of us will sit there and say, man, I experience that on a daily basis. Yeah, probably no doubt. We come close. There's things that tempt us to take our eyes away from that truth that God is good, to take our eyes away from being pure in heart before the Lord. Well, what was it that did this? Well, don't you know the psalmist is going to tell us. Verse 3 of Psalm 73 says this, "For I was envious of the arrogant, and I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Whoa, well, there we go, okay? He says, I was envious of, another word for arrogant is boasters. He was envious of those that he saw boasting, that were arrogant. And he saw the prosperity of the wicked. So you see already the parallels between the 73rd Psalm and the 37th Psalm. He's being distracted by this. And the distraction is coming in the form of envy, okay? Coming in the form of envy because he's envy of these arrogant. And he saw the prosperity of the wicked. You see this going all the way back to Genesis. You see it in 1 John. You see it several places where we cast our eyes and our looks, our gaze upon something, and we get distracted by it. He's declaring that the wicked are prospering, and they are prospering. And he's envious of these arrogant boasters. Well, why is he envious of them? Well, because of their prosperity. And then he starts giving some detail into what that prosperity is. Verse 4, "For there are no pains in their death, and their body is fat." Their belly is what he's talking about. Their belly is fat. There's no pains in their death. What does that mean? Well, apparently he had seen some things to where it wasn't when they died, that they died in their sleep, okay, that they died fat. Their body was fat. Well, what's fat a picture of? That's a picture of prosperity. That's a picture of having no lack of food, if nothing else. And so he's saying they didn't have the pains and the sufferings of the world in their death. They lived up to the time of their death and they died. And he's sort of envious of this. He's sort of jealous of this. Verse 5, they are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like mankind, or one translation says, nor are they plagued with mankind. So you say, well, they're not in trouble with mortal men, is the idea behind this. They're not in trouble as other mortals are, nor are they plagued with mankind. In other words, men are leaving them alone. They're not in trouble with them. Well, why is that? Well, they're arrogant. They're wicked. They're evildoers. And usually the evildoers will leave other evildoers long until they have something they want and they go after it, right? And so apparently this is someone, these people he's looking at, their body is fat, so they're not consumed with war. They're not consumed with the troubles of man. Well, let's continue on, see what else he says. Therefore, pride is their necklace. The garment of violence covers them. Their eye bulges from fatness. Well, that's great. The imaginations of their heart run riot. It just means that they overflow. They mock and wildly speak of oppression. They speak from on high. They have set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue parades or walks through the earth. So he's showing us how they are. He said they're arrogant, they're wicked, they're literally fat of body. They're not in trouble with men, but they're in trouble with heaven. And he says because of this, they're full of pride. That's their arrogance. The garment of violence covers them. So you see that they are violent men. They are men that are causing trouble. He says their eye bulges from fatness. I wonder if this psalmist has somebody in mind. And he says that their imagination of their heart just runs crazy. So they just do whatever they can imagine. They mock. They speak against oppression. They speak from on high. They set their mouth against the heavens. That's a different thing right there, folks. It's one thing to be speaking against man and this kind of stuff, but it's speaking against the heavens. And literally, their tongue parades through the earth. Well, this is interesting, is it not? We see the evil that these men are doing, but we see how it can be a distraction. Is it not the same today with us? Okay, it is. The struggle is the same with us today because we can look at those in the world and see this same type of thing. But I tell you where it really gets even worse. We can look within those who claim to be believers within religious organizations and see the same thing, even worse so. Even worse so. You have examples of it in Scripture where Eli, the high priest, was described as being very fat. I mean, he literally dies when he finds out the Ark of the Covenant has been captured, and he falls backward, and he breaks his neck, and he dies. He was very old, and the last word said of him was, and he was very fat. That says some things, okay? That says some things. These type of people, folks, are in the midst of us. They're in the midst of the religious organizations, and they seek to infiltrate within the midst of true believers. Jude talks a lot about this. We need to be aware of this. We need to be forewarned, praying that they will be saved, but not being swayed by their arguments. Well, I'll tell you, my time's up, so we'll continue with this 73rd Psalm. Again, I'm Dale. I'll see you again next time.